It's good to see everyone back this afternoon. For a short time, we're going to be discussing 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And to begin, kind of like to start with, Dad and I were kind of talking about it before services. Growing up, whenever me or any of the other kids, Tara, Stephen, or Ashley, whenever we were about to leave or go out, whether it be for a short time by ourselves or whether it was with friends or whether we were headed out of town or even going on vacation or anything like that, of course, one of the last things we would hear going out the door was, you know, Mom saying that she loved us. And then she would always make a point to say, no matter what the situation was, whether we were just going down the street just to pick something up from the store and coming right back, she would always say, remember who you are. And, you know, at that time, you don't really, yes, ma'am, you know, kind of brush it off. But the older you get and the more experience you get and the more of this life we live, certain phrases like that seem to have more meaning in certain ways. So what we're going to discuss this evening is us remembering who we are and who we are exactly and what we represent. Before our introduction, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, here the church at Corinth was a very troubled church. It was infected with sexual immorality. There was division. And instead of settling church matters among themselves, they were dragging one another to court. And the church was crippled by abuse of spiritual gifts. Now, though they were true believers, they had a lot of growing up to do. They had to stop following the immoral, selfish, and contentious ways of their pagan neighbors. The church, like the city, had a mixture of nationalities. A lot of different people with a lot of different backgrounds. And though some Jews had been converted, most of its members were Gentiles, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. But while the Corinthian church reflected the city's multinational character or diversity, it also mirrored some of Corinth's immorality. So we can understand, I think, the disappointment in the Apostle Paul's stern words from the Corinthians. And so as we go about this afternoon, we want to take in consideration the instructions that the Apostle Paul had for the Corinthians at this time. So when we, and as they, and when we try to remember just who we are, we have to understand that we are God's children. We are part of God's family. In chapter 3, verses 1 and 4, here the Bible reads, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, it says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" So here, we can understand, you know, Apostle Paul's stern words and him being pretty blunt and kind of in your face, if you will, with his words. And what we need to understand is that we all began our spiritual life as a babe in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." And in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So what exactly are we born into? Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 26, we read that we are born into God's family. It says in verse 26 and 27, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We are born again. When we are born again, we have new experiences and we develop new relationships with others. We do not hang out with some of the folks that we maybe once associated with or go to some of the places that we may have once attended. There is a change. And with that change, there is a separation of our old lives, including those who were in them, including the places that old life was involved with. We no longer say or use language that we once may have used. Our vocabulary will have changed. We will have picked up other words along the way and may even describe things differently. Our entire way of speaking oftentimes may change to a point. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But although they were babes in Christ, they must not remain immature. Chapter 3, we know that in chapter 3, verses 1 and 4. Now the carnal person is not the same as the natural man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we know this in verse 14. Here it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." A carnal person is not the same as a spiritual man either. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 15. It says, "Who because of the accepted revelation has spiritual discernment." It says, this is where the problem was. It says they accepted revelation, but they were not using spiritual discernment. In verse 15 it reads, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." A carnal individual is a spiritually immature Christian, or a spiritual infant. Paul had wisdom for the mature. We read this in 1 Corinthians 2 and 6. "But he had to teach them with the milk of the word into their carnal disposition." The Apostle Paul tells us, or tells of a similar situation of those experienced, those not experienced in the world. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Here the Bible reads, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I can tell you that growing up in this congregation, the caliber of speaking, if you will, some of the lessons that have come from this pulpit by the members of this congregation have been very good. And just over the past several years, when we decided to do themes or studies where many people had the same subject but came at it from different angles, the quality of learning and quality of instruction, I believe, has grown and grown and continued to grow. And those who first started teaching here and now have had several years under their belt, their ability to improve and grow is recognizable, I would say. And I commend those who have been able to mature and grow. But as children, Apostle Paul teaches us that children, they were not grounded in doctrine, and because they were not grounded in doctrine, there was a danger. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Once we begin to be more mature in God's Word, we will be able to exercise our discernment, and we will be able to rightly divide God's Word. And as we study, as we listen to other individuals, commentaries and things of this nature, as we study, we can better discern certain things, and we can realize there are those who speak the truth, and there are those who speak very close, but if you're not too careful, can lead you astray in certain matters. And as we mature and as we grow and as we're able to discern, this we'll be able to get better and more effective with that. It was once said that if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And being able to rightly divide God's Word and be able to discern context and things of this, we will be able to have a better stance on what we believe. And they still, here in Corinth, they still were not ready for solid food due to the allowing the flesh to control their spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 8 through 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Their carnal condition was seen in their jealousy and strife. They were caught up in setting one preacher above another and forgot they all belonged to God. We must not remain infants in Christ. Those who make it a habit of obeying God, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, are able to distinguish good and evil. One thing that's, I remember Brother Mike, whenever he would give a lesson, is he would always ask that question, are we saved and are we growing? And it always seemed that, you know, that first part's very important. Are we saved? But it doesn't make the second part any less important. We have to continue to grow, and we need to make sure that we are growing, because if we are not moving forward, we are falling behind. Corinthians 3, verse 5 through 9, it says, "To them, then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Since preachers are servants and workers, they are not to be exalted. Who worships a servant? They are not saviors. They are not authorities over us that we should be named from them, as we see in religions of the world. This was kind of a problem, especially those of a previous Jewish faith, where it was very important what their lineage was. And so because of this, many people would say, "I am of this person," or "I am of that person," or This person is the one who baptized me, or I was baptized by this person. We aren't to have this mindset. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" These were ministers, not lords. Each preacher has different abilities and God-given talents. Some gospel meetings, others private studies, others establish new congregations, others with edification or encouragement. The list goes on. It is important that each one of us, or each one of them, use their abilities with thanksgiving. not with envy. The one who plants and the one who waters have nothing to boast about, but should be united in purpose. The results are in God's hands, for God gives the increase. The worker is rewarded on the basis of his or her labor, not of the results. We are God's fellow workers. You know, as we consider these verses, we're kind of reminded of Old Testament scriptures of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, it's kind of sobering. So Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning with verse 18, it says, "When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Our responsibility is to spread the good news so that God can give the increase. We are not to pre-qualify. We are not to judge where our words may be most effective. We are not to pick and choose or anything of that nature. It is merely our job to spread his word, and he will give the increase. So who are we? It said that we are God's building. We are God's temple. In 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the days will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sorts it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you?" The church belongs to God, not to man. There are those who help establish and strengthen the church, but Christ must remain the foundation. The church belongs to Christ, and he gave his life for it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, "Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Also in Psalms 127:1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." We are to be a strong building. And a strong building the church must have. Must have a solid foundation. And that foundation is Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 says, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw." These building materials refer to the quality of work done by the Corinthians, and possibly to their motivation and their kind of doctrines they taught. The true value of service will become obvious to all on the day of God's judgment. We, or the local church, are the temple of God. God takes very seriously our actions in the church. Any person who disrupts and destroys the church by division, malice, and other harmful acts invites God's discipline. The church is to be holy, and those who defile God's temple are his enemies. In Psalms chapter 74, verses 3 through 8, it says, "Lift up your feet to the perpetual desolations. The enemy has damaged everything in the sanctuary. Your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place, and they set up their banners for signs. They seem like men who lift up axes among the thick trees. And now they break down its carved work all at once with axes and hammers. They have set fire to your sanctuary. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them altogether. They have burned up all the meeting places of God in the land. There's a warning to those who build upon this foundation. It's to be careful how we build. Hebrews 8 verse 5 says, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. There was warning to those who damaged the church is that they would be destroyed. Revelation 2, verse 20-23 says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow the women Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. They repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. One thing we also need to take into consideration as being children of God and being followers of Christ Jesus is that all things are available for the Christian's use. And I'm referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 18, going to verse 23. Human wisdom is brought to nothing by God. It says in verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Human wisdom fails to build God's house, so we should not boast in our relation to man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 12, it says, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. All things exist for our usefulness because we belong to Christ. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So in conclusion this afternoon, we must live mature lives by remembering who we are. We are the children of God. We are fellow workers. We are brethren with one another. We are God's field. We are God's house. We are the temple of God. We are heirs of all things. And we must develop spiritual maturity and live in God's blessings. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call. Or if you wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be, we ask that you come as we stand and sing a song of invitation.